Good afternoon. It's wonderful to see all of you here. Thank you all so much for coming. My name is Mike Felsen, and I'm the president of Boston Workman's Circle. And this afternoon, we're going to perform for you some excerpts from a show that we'll be performing at the Boston Jewish Music Festival on March the 6th. And the show will commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire. Now, by any chance, does anyone here have a family member who might have experienced the Triangle Shirtwaist or perhaps have a memory of it? Anybody? Yeah? Not surprised. In the process of writing this script, we learned just how much the Triangle Fire is a memory imprinted on the fabric of American Jewish culture. We began hearing the stories. My great-grandmother was in the fire. She worked in a factory on a lower floor of the building and was able to get out. My grandfather worked in a garment shop across the street. My 90-year-old mother remembers her mother talking about the fire as if it was yesterday. We're proud to have created this show to recount a seminal moment in American Jewish history. We're also very proud of the role that Workman's Circle played in that piece of history. As a mutual aid organization, Workman's Circle provided its members with health benefits, strike benefits, and funeral benefits. 25 Triangle Fire victims are buried in Workman's Circle cemeteries in New York. And equally essential to the immigrant community at that time, Workman's Circle was an arm of the Jewish labor movement. Known as the Red Cross of Labor, the organization provided material and spiritual support to the men and women who dared to strike and dared to believe that they could organize a movement with the power to end exploitation and oppression for all working people. We at the Workman's Circle are proud to carry on that tradition.
Snow is falling. Snow is falling, and I sit, and I sew. Day and night, sitting, sewing. Meine junge Jahren, the years of my youth, lost. No one knows how many workers were at the factory on that day in March 1911. But we know that of the 146 who died when the 8th, 9th, and 10th floors of the Triangle Shirtwaist Company were consumed by flames, all but 16 were women and girls, mostly Jewish and also Italian immigrants, two-thirds of them teenagers, some as young as 14. You plow and you sow, hammer and weave. Tell me, my people, what do you have to show for it? Workers, recognize your strength. Your mighty arm can stop the wheels from turning.
Seldom paused, no matter what they were at. They talked every language but English. The day began in the dark, too early for the sun's rising, and ended in the dark, too late for sun setting. It was 12 hours, 14 hours, 16. I was so afraid of losing my place, I had to work overtime whenever they made me. And for this, no extra pay, only wages of $5.50 a week. That was before they deducted for needles, thread, electricity, and mistakes.
I came here from Russia 8 years ago to become a great woman. I was going to work and live and love. I was told that in this country I would be as free to live as in Russia I could only dream of. But my first job was feeding handkerchiefs to the machine. The first English sentence I learned to read was, "Watch your needle, 3,000 stitches a minute."
My mother says she brought me here to get an education. She would not let me work until I graduated. But I went right from school to the factory when I was 14 and a half. I didn't tell my mother, but I know it would be better if I had never gone to school. School makes you want things, and there is nothing for us but work in dirty shops.
Am Morgen mein Vater mir auch zu gefiel, doch spielen
It was called the Great Uprising of the 20,000, November 1909. They sewed shirtwaists, women's blouses, a general strike in nearly 400 New York City factories, the largest strike of women ever known in the U.S.
Clara Lenlich, garment worker and union activist. Ich bin ein arbeiter Mädel. I am a working girl. I have listened to all the speakers. I would not have further patience for talk, as I am one of those who feels and suffers from the things pictured. I move that we go on general strike. Brothers and sisters, will you pledge the Jewish oath with me? If I turn traitor to the cause I now pledge, may this hand wither from the arm I now raise.
We are all brothers, alle Brüder. We are all sisters, alle Schwester. We stick together like no one else.
After 14 weeks, 354 employers had signed the union contract, and with very few exceptions, all had agreed to a closed union shop, a 52-hour week, raises from 12 to 15%. The Triangle Company never backed down. As the busy clothing season approached, they took back their workers at higher wages and shorter hours, but they successfully resisted a union shop.
Newspaper account, March 25th, 1911. I was walking through Washington Square when a puff of smoke issuing from the factory building caught my eye. As I reached the scene of the fire, a cloud of smoke hung over the building. I learned a new sound, a more horrible sound than description can picture. I looked up, saw that there were scores of girls at the windows. The flames from the floor below were beating in their faces. "Call the firemen," they screamed, "scores of them. Get the ladder," cried others. "Here they come," we yelled. "Don't jump, stay there." One girl climbed onto the window sash. She dropped into space. Then came the first thud. I looked up. Another girl was climbing onto the windowsill. Others were crowding behind her. They were fighting each other and crowding for air. Behind them, I saw many screaming heads. The fireman raised the longest ladder. It reached only to the sixth floor. Now the crowd was enormous, though all this had occurred in less than 7 minutes. The start of the fire and the thuds and the deaths.
After the fire began, workers remained trapped and nothing could save them. Elevator cables warped from the heat. Fire escapes collapsed under the weight of those fleeing. One stairway enveloped in flame, the other. The door locked, allegedly, to search handbags at the end of the day for scraps of fabric.
A horrible death has robbed me of my little girl. Instead of a wedding dress, she wears a shroud. My dear child, my dear child.
Rose Schneiderman, garment worker and union organizer. We have tried you, citizens. We are trying you now, and you have a couple of dollars for the sorrowing mothers, brothers, and sisters by way of a charity gift. But every time the workers come out in the only way they know to protest against conditions which are unbearable, the strong hand of the law is allowed to press down heavily upon us. I can't talk fellowship to you who are gathered here. Too much blood has been spilled.
Friends, when I die, Bring our freedom flag to my grave. Sing me a song that rings like the chains that bind us all, and I, too, will weep. And when I hear the battle cry for justice sounding across the land, I will sing to the people from my grave, and I will lift their spirits.
How long will you remain enslaved and wear these degrading chains? How long will you build riches for those who rob you of your bread? Brothers and sisters, wake up! Feel your iron strength! Ring the bells of freedom!
The shirtwaist represented the fabric which connected all women, factory girls, teachers, suffragettes, women of high society, in a bond of sisterhood.
Today I observed many a Jewish girl with her arm around an Italian girl's neck, not able to speak one to the other, but both understanding they are fighting the same fight for each other's interests.
Oh, we are women,
we are women,
and we are marching,
we are marching.
Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow, Chow. We are marching,
we are marching,
for liberation,
for liberation.
We want a revolution.
Yeah.
April 2nd, 1911, Memorial Meeting, Metropolitan Opera House. The lesson of the hour is that while property is good, life is better. That while possessions are valuable, life is priceless. The meaning of the hour is that the life of the lowliest worker in the nation is sacred and inviolable. And if that sacred human right be violated, we shall stand adjudged and condemned before the tribunal of God and of history.
New York, those golden land, the key to all of my hopes and dreams, until I learned what it meant to work in a sweatshop.
The machines go like mad. Sometimes in my haste, I get my finger caught and the needles go right through it. I bind the finger up with a piece of cotton and go on working.
At the end of the day, one feels so weak that there is a great temptation to lie right down and sleep. But you must go out and get air and have some pleasure.
Dear Father, Russia seems so far away. But don't worry about me. I'm in a union now.
We all knew it was dangerous to go back to work after the Triangle Fire and that we might not live. But if we wanted to eat and feed our children, we had no choice.
I wonder what sisters means if it doesn't mean to help each other in all our labor troubles.
What the woman who labors wants is the right to live. Not simply exist. The right to life as the rich woman has the right to live, and the sun, and music, and art.
As we go marching, marching in the beauty of the day, a million darkened kitchens, a thousand mirrors gray, are touched with all the radiance that
so much. You've just heard excerpts from a show commemorating the 100th anniversary of the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire that we will debut as part of the Jewish Music Festival on March 6th. And there are a lot of programs out on the chairs with a website where you can go if you're interested in finding out how to get tickets to that concert. We'd like to close with a song that has a tune I'm sure every one of you, I think, will recognize, with words written in Yiddish by I.L. Peretz more than 100 years ago, talking about how people of all races, all creeds, are all human beings. And we've woven it together with a contemporary anthem that I think you'll also recognize.